9/11 kind of struck a somber note this morning. I think we all remember where we were. I was actually driving down the road, headed to work whenever I heard it on the radio. And I got to work and I tried to bring up CNN and news websites, and they were all flooded, of course, and crashed. And this morning, I got up early and I was watching on online. I watched the actual news reels from 10 years ago that from CNN. That I just kind of watched the coverage from before the planes hit until the towers fell, and I was amazed in me the kind of, you know, sadness and anger and the thoughts of revenge and all of those things welled up inside me as I watched it 10 years later. And over the last 10 years, I have I've come to understand that God is calling us to be different than that. I mean, that's the reaction all of the world had to this, but we're called to be different. And the realization that I had this morning as I watched those tapes — do we even have tapes anymore? — as I was watching those videos, was that I'm no different. Let's pray. Father, make us different. Father, we want to be different. We do not want to speak with the voice of the rest of the world. We do not want to speak with voices of hate and revenge and anger. May we speak with your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is a pretty exciting day. We changed all of our times of our worship, and since you all are here, that means you got it. And we had coffee and donuts in between, and I think that went really well. There was lots of talking, and we had to have music start and everything for everybody to realize, hey, it's time to sit down. So I think that's a good thing. I'm excited about some of the things that we have planned over the next few weeks and years, and it's going to be great. But more than just excited about this stuff, I think this stuff is going to fix some of the things that are broken at Singing Hills. You know, I've been at Singing Hills for a year now, this week actually. No applause necessary. And one of the things that I've seen is that we have a lot of people who come through the front door. And some of them stop at the baptistry, and then they kind of knock around a little bit, and then they leave. And we see it over and over and over. And I've had a chance to talk with a number of them, and they say the same thing. They use different words, but they say the same thing. They say, I just don't feel connected. They say, I don't have any friends here. They say, at first, whenever I came, I was really welcomed, and then nothing. Well, remember, I'm new here too. And if you asked me, I'd say the same things that they did. Whenever we came, we were welcomed with open arms. We were welcomed. But pretty quick after that, everybody went back to their own lives, and it was over. And here we were with no connections. And that's not a slam against Singing Hills. That's just the way it is. It's not unique to us. It's the way group dynamics work. When you have an established group like Singing Hills and you bring somebody new in, it's very tough for them to develop those connections. And churches that overcome that are remarkable churches, Because if you're able to bring new people into the church and incorporate them into the body, those churches do incredible things. Well, we're feeling much more connected to Singing Hills now. And what's different? What was it that changed? Well, what changed was that we joined a share group. Originally, my plan was that we would go around and we'd visit several share groups and just get to know people and that sort of thing. And so we started doing that, and the Bellhumers invited us to come and visit their share group. And for me, that changed everything. I love our share group. It's a great share group, and I look forward every Tuesday to seeing them, and I work hard not to schedule anything on Tuesday nights, though this Tuesday I'm not going to be there, but, you know, it happens every once in a while. But because I love it, because when I walk into my share group, everybody knows me. They know me, they know Wendy, they know my kids, they know my kids' names, they know what's going on in my life, they talk to me, they care about my family, my life, and I do them too. I'm excited to talk to them about that. And I want, with what the changes that we're making at Singing Hills, I want all of us to experience that same thing, that same connectedness, that experience of belonging, those connections that stick us at Singing Hills, those connections that grow us up in Christ. I want us to experience that. Now, in our passage today, which is in Colossians chapter 2, if you get a chance to turn there, Paul is writing to encourage the people to stay strong in the faith and to not fall away. And I got to tell you, that's something that I want for me, it's something I want for my family, and it's something that I want for the people who come to Singing Hills to be strong in the faith. I want them to stick it out. So chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, on those and of those who are at Laodicea, and for those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And then skip on down to verse 6. He says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." That pretty much sums up what I want our share groups to do. So let's start out, as we look at this passage, I want to start out with some background material. I want to start out talking about mystery. And then we'll get back to the passage and we'll get back to the message. But Paul uses he uses the word mystery in verse 2, and he talks about hidden wisdom and hidden hidden knowledge in verse 3. And whenever we see mystery in Scripture, it ought to always cue our brains up to think about mystery religions. I know that it does in your mind immediately, doesn't it? But it should. Because mystery religions at the time of in the first century were very popular, and they were they were Gnostic religions, which means they were about knowledge, and they taught that secret knowledge, little bits of knowledge, would raise your level of spirituality. If you got those knowledge, you got a little bit smarter, you got a little bit closer to God, you got a little bit more spiritual, you were a little bit better than everybody else. You're more powerful. You think of them kind of like more serious Masons, you know, or Shriners, or that whole group. Those are kind of modern extensions of these mystery religions. But they were much more serious about their secrets than these modern groups. But certain people held these bits of knowledge, and whenever you paid a certain money, whenever you paid tribute to the certain people, whenever you did, when you jumped through the right hoops, they'd give you a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more power, a little bit. Each piece of the puzzle made you more powerful and more godlike, more and better than everybody else. And who couldn't like that? And these little secret bits of knowledge were called mystery. And so whenever Paul writes to a church in the first century and he wants to talk to them and tell them about Jesus, he uses the word mystery. He says, I'm telling you, I want to give you the secret knowledge that will get you close to God. Are you ready for it? It's a mystery. It's one you haven't heard. It's Jesus. And that gets them engaged in that. And this whole passage in Colossians is circled around mystery. It's grounded in mystery. Incidentally, by the way, we live in a Gnostic world. All of us do. A world that's grounded in knowledge. Now, we don't do what they did. We don't guard our knowledge and kind of mete it out to people as, you know, if they want it. We put it on the internet so everybody can get it. But we value knowledge over anything else. And if you don't believe it, listen to the churches who are beating their chest over having all of the right theology, that they've got it all figured out. And they're like, hey, you know, come look at our website. We'll tell you how it all is. And the working out of that is that the people, and we think about the people who have the most knowledge have the most power. And so whenever somebody wants to derail the church, they do things like toss little bits of knowledge in and say, our knowledge is better than yours. So take like evolution, for example. Whenever they want to talk about that, they don't just talk about this theory. They say, and we know that God didn't create because we've got these fossils or whatever. So immediately what happens on the other side is you've got churches who and people who jump up and say, well, my knowledge is better than your knowledge. Again, I have the mystery. You don't have the mystery. I'm smarter than you. And so we have whole organizations that organize that are all about proving that the world is 4,000 years old and I've got better knowledge than you. And it's like, no. We live in this Gnostic world. And we organize people by what knowledge they have. So here's what happens whenever we make knowledge the highest touchstone in the world. Churches become cold. We become disconnected. And the thing is that if we're a church that's based on knowledge, then if somebody finds a little bit of our knowledge that's wrong, then it unravels the whole thing. Whenever we make a church that's based on doctrinal purity, then we can, you know, we shout to everybody. We say, we have the true knowledge. We have the right stuff. We shout it to everybody. But the truth is that anybody who actually reads the Bible are going to find things that they say, you know, that doesn't exactly fit with the doctrine that we have. And the reason is not, oh, hey, we have really terrible doctrine. That's not it at all. It's that this is a very, that following Christ is a complex thing. And it's following Christ is not based on knowledge. And whenever if we send somebody on their way and say, you know, you just need to figure out the truth, and it's all about the knowledge, and it's all about the truth. The truth is that we don't have it all figured out. And the truth is that there are churches all around who will argue very persuasively that they have it all figured out, and yet they're no further down this road than we are. I mean, the fact is that, you know, they're no more certain than we are about stuff. And where they are more certain about things that we don't really know exactly, they're bluffing. Okay? Just like we are. So when Paul, who's speaking to a world that's absolutely crazed about knowledge, about having the right knowledge and the secret knowledge and all that stuff, when he tells somebody, I want you to be true to the faith and I don't want you to fall away, how does he do it? He says, I want your hearts to be encouraged. He wants the center of our being to be encouraged. We talk about our hearts as the center of emotion. When they talked about their hearts, it was the center of their being, the core of who they are. And how is it that we're to be encouraged? He says, I want your hearts to be knitted together with love. Having been knit together with love, he says. Encouragement is comes out of the fabric of these love these loving relationships. And love is a close word. Love is not something that you can do at a distance. You can't do this on the internet. Love is something, it's intense. It's so intense. You can only be connected with so many people, you know. And I don't mean by that that at some level we can't be connected with everybody in the room, and at some level we can't love everybody who's here, and at some level we can't love everybody who's in Hillsboro, and at some level we can't love everybody in the United States, and at some level we can't love everybody in the world. I understand all of that, but when you're talking about the kind of love that Paul's talking about here, you can only be connected with a certain number of people. None of us can be knitted together with love to everyone. We don't have the energy for it. None of us have the emotional aptitude for it. It's impossible. We can't do the kind of knitting together that Paul is talking about just on a Sunday morning connection. We just can't do it. If you took, for one thing, there's not time. If you took the whole time that we're together, and which is about 3 hours, if you came the whole time every Sunday morning, about 3 hours, and you took out the time that's already programmed, then you've got about 30 minutes for about 300 people that would call Singing Hills home. It's about 6 seconds apiece that you can connect with each person. 6 seconds. So let's all get started, okay? You know, let's connect up deep. Let's weave our hearts together. Let's knit our hearts together in love in 6 seconds apiece. The truth is, there's just too many people for us to be personally connected with together. I mean, and the way we all hang out as a church, the way it all hangs together, is not that the somebody over here is directly connected with somebody over here, but what it works is this person's connected to this person and connected to this person, and it's a weaving together, and eventually we're all connected together in this congregation. We're connected together in the church around the world. We're connected together in the church throughout time, geography, everything. We're all connected together, but we're woven together with people close to us. It's the way that it works. And, you know, you say, well, you know, I just want to be connected with everybody in the church. You can't. I'm telling you, you can't do it, not in a real way. You might be able to know everybody's name, maybe, but you're not going to know those people. And so we have to, and if we're going to call that love, then we have to kind of redefine what love is, right? Or we have to just admit our own limitations. I'm going to opt for that one because we can't love everybody like Paul's talking about. We can't get everybody. One of the things that I periodically hear is, you know, we just don't feel like family. Well, here's how to feel more like family. Knit your hearts together with love. That's how you feel more like family. Share groups are the perfect opportunity to do that. In the past, churches have done this through other ways. They've had Sunday school classes that are small Sunday school classes, 10, 15 people, and they connect together on a Sunday morning, and they're essentially Sunday morning share groups. Well, we do share groups in people's homes, connecting people there. They're small groups, 8, 10, 15 people that get together. That's enough people that you can get to know everybody in the room. You can talk about things that matter. You can spend time with people. You can share life together. And as you do that, pretty soon you're going to notice that your lives are beginning to knit together. You're going to be encouraged as you are knit together in love. And you know what? That's pretty rare in our world. I don't know if you've noticed, but people today talk about connecting, and they talk about Facebook. You know, I have almost 600 friends on Facebook. I don't even know some of those people. But we talk about connecting up, and we talk about Facebook, and we talk about text messaging, and we've forgotten what it's like to have real, deep relationships with one another. And when you start knitting your hearts together in love, you'll find something that you don't get everywhere, that you only get here. It's something you'll find in share group. It's something you'll find in these close relationships that you can have at church. And that is worth sticking around for. I think if we connect people up with that, they'll stick around Singing Hills. Paul says that your hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now we get to this knowledge mystery thing that we were talking about. And this part just kind of gives me goosebumps. This is further encouragement of our heart that we are knit together in love, that we attain to the wealth, he says, that comes from the full assurance of understanding. So what is this full assurance of understanding tied to? It's tied to love. That's how we get it. Knowledge is just not going to do it. You know, there are a lot of people who know the scriptures, a lot of people who know about God who walk away. A lot of people who know about God but don't live like they know God. It's not just knowledge. You have to have assurance of your understanding. You've got to be connected with people who know faith, who live faith. And that's what makes it work. When you're connected with these people in a small group, in a share group, you sit around a living room with these people every week and you look across the room and you see people who are living the same faith that you are. And they have the same struggles that you are. And because you are connected with them through this share group, you actually know their struggles. You actually know that their lives are not perfect like you think everybody else's lives are. Their life is like your life. And they're dealing with the same things you are. And you see them struggle and you see their faith prevail. And that's encouraging to you because whenever you're sitting there and your life is going down the toilet, you know there are people around here who've done the same thing. You know that the person across from you has lived through personal tragedy and their faith has gotten them through. You know that the person over here has financial issues that have plagued them, and you know that they've made it through by their faith. You know that this person over here is having a trouble with their marriage and their marriage is on the rocks, and yet somehow they've survived and their faith is strong. And it gives you this assurance of understanding, this assurance that you're on the right path. And it's an assurance that cannot come through knowledge. And so Paul continues and he says, you're resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom of treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He says, do you want true knowledge? Now, do you want true wisdom? Do you want true understanding? Do you want to know the mystery of God? Do you want to know the path to God? Here it is. Here it is. Know Christ. That's what he's saying. You know, you can know the one who created the world and who cast the stars into the sky. You know the one who formed you out of dust and breathed into you life. You know the one who loved you from the beginning and who rescued us in our oppression and who came to us when we didn't even know that we needed him, and he gave us life that we might know real love and was resurrected from the dead. You can know him, and he is Jesus. And the path to know God is to know Jesus. And he is the key to all knowledge and the key to all truth and the key to all understanding. And it all comes through knowing Jesus, not knowing about him, but knowing Jesus. All of these hidden things, all of these mysteries are unlocked and unpacked in Jesus. Want an example? 9/11. You know, here we sit, 10 years after 9/11. And we're wondering, how in the world do we face a world of people that hate us? What do you do with a world that where people will lie to just make you look bad? What do you do with a world when you do good things for the world and they throw it back in your face? What do you do in a world where they talk about you? What do you do in a world where people would gladly torture you? What do you do in a world where people want to kill you? What do you do in a world where they where all you come to do is love them and they crucify you? Do you think that Jesus has the key to that wisdom? Do you think that that is some of the mystery that's unlocked in Jesus? I wonder if Jesus, that the cross, I wonder if the cross doesn't hold the essence of how we deal with this 9/11 thing. I wonder if we understood Jesus and we knew Jesus, that we might, that Father forgive them might flow out of us faster. You see, knowing Jesus is what unpacks that. That's what where you get this true knowledge, is in knowing Him. And no amount of guns and bombs can bring that kind of wisdom. And CNN doesn't bring that wisdom. It comes from Jesus, and it comes from knowing Him. Not knowing about Him, but knowing Him. That's how we get these hidden treasures and wisdom of and knowledge. It's knowing Christ, God's mystery. And how do we come to this deep mystery of God? Trace this passage back. What did He say? How do we get this? It's by the assurance of understanding. How do we get this assurance of understanding? By having our hearts knit together in love. It all comes back to loving one another. You want to know Christ? You want to know these great wisdom? You want to know this great knowledge? Love one another. That's how you do it. Our lives being woven together. And that's why share groups are so important, because they provide this framework that we could be knit together. They provide the opportunity for us to get to know each other, the opportunity for us to actually love each other. And in loving each other, I'm confident that we will find Christ among us. It's His promise. We believe, at Singing Hills, that this being knit together is so important that we've determined that this is going to be the answer to the questions that people ask. How do I get more connected at Singing Hills? Are you part of a share group? How do I get to know, how do I deepen my relationship with God? Are you part of a share group? How do I get my prayer needs to somebody? How do I ask somebody to pray for me? Are you a part of a share group? How do I get connected with people into people's lives and help people? Are you in share group? My marriage is in trouble. Are you in share group? I can't make ends meet and I need somebody to help me with budgeting. Are you in a share group? I want to know what's going on in people's lives. Are you in a share group? You see, by being connected with believers at this level, it answers all of those questions. I got to tell you that being connected with other believers has been the one thing in my life that has kept me in the faith. The one thing. And share groups are Singing Hills' way of connecting us up to each other. You need those connections. Today we're starting a we're signing up for share groups. They actually start next week, but we have three new groups that are starting, and they're starting from scratch. And what's so important about that is that, like whenever somebody comes into Singing Hills, we're already this established group. It's hard to get connected up. If you start a group from scratch, it's easy to connect up because everybody's in the same boat. So we're starting three groups from scratch. And if you're not a part of a share group and you want to join one, this is a great place to do it. Now, if you're already a part of a share group, stay where you're at, or if you want to change, you're welcome to change, however you want to do it. But and if you want to join an existing share group, have at it. Great. That's good. You know, it's a lot of work to do that, and you almost have to have an invitation. But if you do, and you get connected up, that's great. However, whatever it takes, establish, whether you're joining an established group or getting in a new one, do it. I'm begging you, do it. And I don't want to be overly dramatic here, but I believe that your faith might depend on it. Actually, it's not just me saying it. I think Paul's saying that. I think Paul's saying we have to be connected with one another. These deep connections are what hold us in the faith. And no, it doesn't have to be a share group. It doesn't have to be an official small group, whatever. You can have those connections with other believers elsewhere. But I'm telling you, it's hard. And I'm telling you, if you want to get connected up with each other, we're providing a great opportunity to do that in share groups. And Paul's next words are these. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So the call this morning, we all know that we're to walk in Christ. The call this morning is, don't walk alone. Okay? The call this morning is find people to walk with you. Share groups are a great place to do it. Let's stand.